at Psalm 66 today, and this is kind of a personal testimony of what the Lord has done for me today. Psalm 66, we're going to read just verse 16 and 17 this morning, just these two verses as our text verse, and we'll be looking at a lot of other scriptures, and so have your Bible ready and on hand. We call ourselves Bible Baptist Church because we believe that it's important to find out what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what man thinks about things. It doesn't matter what any human being or any authority says. God is the ultimate authority, and what God has said about it is what we ought to give heed to and listen to and obey, believe and obey. Psalm 66, verse 16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried in him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." Let's pray. Father, help us to be able to communicate today what he hath done for my soul. And Father, I pray that there would be those who would give pause and say, "Has he done that for my soul? Have I submitted to Christ? Have I repented of my sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation?" And Father, we'll consider important principles today from the Word of God and help us to be attentive to them as we look at what the Bible says about salvation. Father, as we think about testimony, bless this service in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Back up a little bit to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, I preached from this portion of Scripture just a few weeks ago, but we're going to read it again, verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 40. And it kind of relates to what we've read in Psalm 66. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." So often we just don't think of ourselves as being in a horrible pit. We don't think of ourselves that way. We think of ourselves as being pretty good people. But let me tell you, even though I was raised in a Christian home, even though I personally have never tasted beer in my life, I've never been drunk, I've never been on drugs, I've never engaged in premarital or extramarital sexual activities. I never have. I married my virgin wife, and we are still morally pure as far as that part of it is concerned. Even though all those things are true, I never went through a time of open rebellion. I've never taken drugs or gotten drunk before I was saved. I was lost as anybody in a horrible pit. And we have a tendency to classify things and separate things and saying, "Oh, that's not so bad. That's, you know, those are respectable sins," as opposed to, you know, disrespectful sins. It's all sin, and the Bible says we're all in a horrible pit, and this is the reality. I was under condemnation for my sin and my sins, just like everybody else is. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. This is notable. I call attention to this morning, the fact that we're inclined to blame others and to pass the buck, as it were. It's not my fault. This just happened to me. In Ezekiel 18, verse 1, God said to the people of Israel, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge?" What's that about? And most people have had, maybe you picked an apple that wasn't quite ripe, and you tried to eat it, and it gives you that kind of chalky, yucky feeling on your teeth. Maybe you've done that with grapes that were sour. And that's what this parable is about. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's mom and dad's fault. They're the ones that got us into this fix. Verse 3 says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this parable in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, it's not somebody else's fault. It's my fault. It's because of bad choices that I made. What kind of sins? Well, you know, the more respectful sins are malice and pride and lust and self-righteousness and rebellion against God and what's godly, rebellion against divinely delegated authorities, selfishness, unbelief, self-love, and fearfulness. Those are just a few. And we could talk about each of these things, and there are things that are endemic to the human condition. We all are this way, and just a few of those are more than enough to condemn our soul. Revelation 21:8 says, "The fearful and the unbelieving and adulterers and abominable and murderers and all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire." Just a few of these more respectable, more respectful sins. Oh, you know, I have malice in my heart. I sometimes, like Elena said yesterday, when she realized she was a sinner, she said she was guilty of you know, one level of rebellion against her parents, as all of us are, rebellion against the authority that God has placed over us, and lying and deceit and malice and pride and viciousness. And these are all sins that condemn the soul. They mark our sinful condition. They mark what we are. And have you been honest with your own sin before a holy God, before the judge of the ages? These are more than enough for a just and righteous God to condemn us in our sin. Oh, but I've never done anything really, really bad. Listen, the things that I've explained, the things that I've mentioned are really, really bad before a holy God. And there's not a one of us that's not guilty. And before you get saved, you've got to get lost. Before you can come to Christ honestly with a repentant heart and salvation, you've got to realize that you're a lost, condemned sinner. Jesus himself said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that be sick." If somebody doesn't even realize they're sick, why would they go to the doctor? Why would they go make an appointment for a physical exam if they don't even think they're sick? And likewise, a person won't come to the Lord with an honest and a sincere heart seeking salvation unless they realize they need that salvation. They won't go to the Lord for salvation unless they know they need forgiveness. And so this is vitally and critically important. The reality is that every one of us is in a horrible pit. And we're lost and condemned, no matter how good or bad we try to make ourselves appear. Oh, but I'm not nearly as bad as my drunken cousin. That doesn't mean a thing. You're probably worse in some ways, even though you're not a drinker, even though you're not a partier, even though you're not this or that or the other. You're probably worse in some ways than he is. All of us are in the same condition before a holy God. We all need that great salvation. And the thing that amazes me that the Lord would be patient with all of our self-righteousness. That he would be patient with us as sinners in a horrible pit who need to be saved, who need to be delivered from that horrible pit. Look with me to Mark chapter 2, verse 17. And Mark chapter 2, verse 17, these same words appear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of these, what they call the synoptic gospels. In Mark 2, 17, the Bible says, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." There is the reality that we are all sinners. And you know, a full realization of one's sinfulness, a full realization of my wickedness probably is not necessarily instant. And God shows us more and more and more to keep us humble along the way. But before we can truly repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which everybody has to do, by the way, everybody has to come to the place of realizing, I'm a lost sinner. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have rebelled against the Lord. I have these wicked things going on in my life that I need forgiveness for. Everybody has to come to the Lord the same way. And so this is the reality. The rescue is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look there with me. The rescue is the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. In 1 Timothy 1:12, the Bible says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And I've told you before that I wonder what it is that's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, or that Paul was the chief sinner, of whom I am chief. What is it that he's saying? This is worthy of all acceptation. That everybody should just accept the fact that I'm the worst sinner, or that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Which is it? One way or the other, he's declaring, he's humbling himself. He's saying that I needed Jesus Christ, and all my self-righteousness was empty and worthless. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, he recited his own religious credentials, and he said, those things, I was this, I was good, I kept the law, I was diligent and devout in the religion of the Jews, and God had established Judaism. God was the one who told the people to follow those precepts in the first place. How was he to know until the Lord showed it to him? He said, what was gained to me, I counted loss for Christ, and all everything that I was claiming, I counted as though it were the same value as dung. I've been walking around out in the yard, and I've seen places where deer have left their dung all over the yard. And how valuable is that? I remember Brother Skip telling me a story. He took a novice out in the woods one day, and they were out hunting deer, and he'd gotten some chocolate-covered raisins and stuck them in his pocket. And one time he reached down and acted like he was picking up some of those little pellets that were left behind, and he threw some in his mouth. And he said, that's how you can tell if it's a buck or a doe. And his friend was horrified. Oh, it's a buck, he said. And I hope none of you ever tried that. Is there a difference? I don't know. But Paul said, that's how much my efforts, that's how much my religion was worth. It was as worthless as animal manure, animal excrement. And he was a faithful and devout man. He was a man who had authority. He was a man who had great influence. And he said it was worthless. When it came to being right with God, it was worthless. Because I needed to deal with my sin. And that's why he cried on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As if in complete submission to Christ, I believe on you, and what do you want me to do? He was willing, and he said, I'm the chief sinner. He had to come to the Lord the same way, and all of his goodness and all of his testimony didn't make any difference. Was he even a sinner? Well, of course, we all are. And he wrote in Romans 3:10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Of course, we're all sinners. We all have that same Adamic nature. We're all under condemnation. The same. Don't imagine that you're better than somebody else just because you happen. And this is a stumbling block for children who are raised in church sometimes. It's hard for them to see themselves as sinners, because they see the things out there in the world and how people do some wild and crazy and immoral and wicked things out there. And so they have trouble identifying themselves as being sinful. Hey, what about your pride? What about your self-righteousness? What about your self-will? What about your selfishness and your rebellion against God and your rebellion against the authorities God's put in your life? What about your malice? What about all that other stuff? It's wickedness that needs to be forgiven. And God has to convict us of that so that we can repent and be saved and be converted like everybody else. And he provides a rescue. Just giving mental assent is not enough. Have you humbled yourself, admitting that you're lost and repenting and believing on Jesus Christ? When a person is forgiven, everything is different. Everything is different. I'm not under condemnation anymore. I don't have to feel guilty about my sin anymore. It's forgiven. It's under the blood. And there's promise and there's peace. There's assurance. There's joy. And then after the reality of our sinful condition, after the rescue has been imputed to us by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is rest. And look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 28 to 30, Jesus Christ himself said, "Come unto me." In verse 28, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." What does God save sinners to? God saves them to a life of dedication and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can serve the Lord, and you can please the Lord, and you can honor the Lord, and you couldn't do that before. You couldn't escape the captivity of your sinfulness, of your sin nature. Now you can. God's given you deliverance from that. And you don't have to live under the domination of sin anymore. And you're free to serve the Lord and honor the Lord and live joyfully and rest in your soul. You're free to do those things. That's what salvation is about. What's it based on? Well, simply coming to the Lord with faith and a yielded heart. Jesus Christ said, when you get to the end of yourself, come to me. And when you realize there's no place else to turn, come to me. When you've messed up your life, come to me. When you violate your own conscience, come to me. When you're left without hope, come to me. When you tried everything and nothing works, you've tried everything and nothing works, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's the one who makes the difference. And so the question is, what has Jesus Christ done for you? We're all in a horrible pit. We all need to be rescued. We all need to experience that great rest. Let's look again at our text verses in Psalm 66, where David declares, "I want to share what God has done for my soul." Psalm 66, 16 and 17 is where the Bible says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried in him with my tongue, and he was extolled with my tongue." Cried in him with my mouth, he was extolled with my tongue. Excuse me. "Come, all you that fear God, I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Could you testify of what he's done for your soul? Could you testify today of what the Lord has done for you? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you.